This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be on the air live with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me in the studio is Nan, one of our radio team members, and Carol will join us in a little while. And we're going to have a great show today, Nan. I'm pumped. God is doing a new thing. He is really, really changing people's lives and hearts, don't you think?
Definitely, he's changing mine. I know what's happening with me, but I know what's happening with a lot of other people, too.
Yeah, I've noticed you're a better girl. Yes, you've been very sweet.
I've been very sweet, Lily. Sweet, kind of lovely bee, right?
Right.
Okay.
No, but you know what? God is doing that. We have just seen miracles. We've seen people's attitudes changing. Mm-hmm. We've seen people really wanting more of God, and that's what Beacon of Hope is all about. We just teach the Word of God, do we not?
We do, and it's interesting. You know, being kind of like the greeter, I kind of greet people.
Yes, you are the greeter.
But even if I wasn't the greeter, I'd still greet the people.
That's true.
You know, and it's interesting that we're having new people come in.
Right.
And what I'm seeing in those new people, I'm seeing most of them have been Christians for a while, but they're hungry.
Yeah.
There's a hunger.
Praise
God.
There's
a new zeal of hunger that's going on in the new people coming
in.
But I'm also seeing it and sensing it within my own life.
Yes.
As well as many of the other people who attend Beacon on a regular basis or part-time.
And that's what I'm saying. It's a new day because
it's
not business as usual.
No.
This is something new that God is doing, and people are getting excited about learning the Word of God. It's the anointing of God, which is His presence, is so mighty in our services. We are feeling His touch. Even when we don't feel good physically, Nathan wasn't very well today, but we still, you know, everybody just carries on and just continues to sing and praise God, regardless of how we feel physically, you know. And that's what it's all about, because there's a desire to get the Word of God down on the inside of us in greater measure, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I can see what's going on in my life. It's kind of interesting. I lost my cell phone.
Right.
This does relate,
Pastor.
This has
been a rough week, hasn't it?
It's been a rough week. I've been out sick.
Yeah.
I was very ill this week, sicker than I can ever recall being in a long time.
Right, you really were. Sinus infection bad.
And antibiotics and all that stuff. Thank goodness for antibiotics and doctors. It was interesting. I don't have my cell phone, and I'm in the process of trying to work out getting another cell phone.
Yeah.
And it hit me yesterday, how are you about reading your Word? How are you about being able to reach for your Word, and is your Word with you? And then it's like today I went to call my dad. Oops, no cell phone. I call my son. No cell phone. I call my mom. I went to do all these things. Also, I don't have my cell phone.
Right.
It's like that related in a metaphor to prayer and the prayer line.
That's
what
good.
You do, you know? And so, I mean, as we need our Word, we need our prayer line with, and so if that's what came of me losing this cell phone, that's an okay lesson, because I have not been without my cell phone since Wednesday night.
Right.
And it's about to drive me crazy, and thank God my brother's kind enough. He's going to outright just buy me a cell phone to get me back in the cell phone. That is a blessing from God. I'm thankful
praise
for
God.
That. But if I'm losing it gave me that lesson, then so be it.
So the lesson is?
We need to study our Word, and we need to spend time in prayer and commune with the Lord.
And we need to value our Bible. Our time with God, spending time reading, listening to His voice. We need to value it more than ever before.
Most definitely.
You know, and I believe I see this happening in our people. It's happening in me, and it should start with the pastor. It really should. You know, I mean, if it starts with the pastor, it's going to go down through the sheep. You know, people are going to say, hey, Okay, I get it. I need to hunger and thirst after God. Some of you listening may say, I don't know what that means, to hunger and thirst. You know, Jesus talked about it a lot. And he said, if you're thirsty, he said in John 7, if you're thirsty, you know, come to me, meaning him, you know. And in, he said in Matthew 11, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we come to God through our, the pages of our Bible. And we read his great love for us. We read his plan for our lives. We realize that he doesn't want us settling for second best or third best in our lives, in every area of our lives. He wants us to have the best that he has planned for us. You know, and that's just, ooh, that's just majorly wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
God loves us. He loves you, Nan, and he loves me just enough, so much, to care about the details of our lives.
He does. You know, a lot of times people, when they get caught up in challenging situations in their lives,
right?
Sometimes, as you pointed out in this morning's service, I'm sure we may be hitting on it today.
We might.
They feel that they're unworthy.
Right.
And God cares about even the little details of our life, the small things. He cares about it all. And if we can ever grasp that thought process.
Right.
You know, I mean, how much greater our lives will be. Period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, and you know, I've had people through the years say, oh, well, I don't pray about the little things. Really? What's wrong with you? I mean, God cares about all those little things. My mother taught me when I was a teenager learning to drive. I remember going through a parking lot in a mall with her one day. And she goes, just a minute, we got to pray for a parking place. I said, Mom. She goes, no, I'm serious. I always do this. I said, you do? I said, I've never heard you say that out loud. She goes, oh, no. I always ask God for a parking place, and he always gives me one. Sure enough. And it taught me a lesson right there, that it's the little things. God cares about those little things in our lives also, not just a big, huge, like, job change or whatever, but all the little details every day.
Well, I think if we see him in the little details, that increases our faith.
So it does.
That we can see him in the larger big ticket items, if you will,
the
in
big
our
ticket
lives.
Items.
Big ticket items. You know, the more, you know, the spouse who's not faithful, the person who's being abusive,
sure,
whatever. You know,
right.
When we trust him with the little things,
right,
it builds up our faith to be able to trust him with the big things.
Ooh.
You know, and that a lot of times people feel overwhelmed by their circumstances,
right,
because they're not really, they haven't reached a point that they can really trust God in that situation.
Right.
But if we go along in our lives and trust him with the small things, it makes it easier for big things.
Amen. So it's good practice for us,
it's
right?
Good practice.
So, dear friends, we are going to encourage you today in the Word of God. We're glad you've joined us. And yes, we are in a series that I started last week entitled Be Healed. And it's not just about the healing for your body. We're going to talk about emotions today. We're going to talk about our minds. And we just thank God that the Word is going to set us each free. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this valuable time that we are spending in your Word and in conversation and in this great music that's coming today on this show. Lord, bless every listener as they listen live or maybe later on our website. Let them feel your presence and let them know that you care about the details of their lives. And Lord, we just give this show to you right now and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with a song by Casting Crowns, one of my favorite groups. The song is Mercy.
Rest assured, I feel
that is a good song. And that couldn't be much more perfect for today. Oh, you're greater than my yesterdays. I love that, Nan. I love that phrase right there. You're greater than my yesterdays. You hold me close today, healer of my brokenness. Oh, your mercy saved me. Oh, I love that. That's great. And that's a perfect beginning for this show today. Because mercy means this: when we don't get what we deserve, when we don't get the punishment, when we don't get the repercussions of our mistakes or our sin, when we don't get that, God shows mercy to us and he saves us from all the past and the brokenness. And this show is about that today. We have been talking about healing. Today we're really going to talk more about healing for our emotions. And I want to make a kind of a bold statement here, which I believe with all my heart, that one of the greatest hindrances to being healed, especially emotionally, but also physically, it can happen, is people that feel unworthy. People that feel that they don't deserve for God to bring any healing in their lives. They feel like they gotta just be stuck in the same old rut that they've been in for a real long time. And God says, no, the answer is no, you don't have to be stuck in that rut. It's time to come out of that and start a new day, you know?
Some people may have been raised in such a situation that they didn't have all that positive, uplifting type of sermons. I mean, I'm thinking of my own self and not making any derogatory statements regarding the denomination from which I came. But I don't really recall that type of teaching. I recall hellfire and brimstone preaching all the time. You know, and if you do this, you're going to go to hell. If you do that, you're going to go to hell. They don't seem to spend a lot of time saying what you can do.
Right.
Spend a lot of time saying what you can't do.
Well, a lot of sermons, a lot of denominations are guilt-based, shame-based.
Yes. Ooh, mine was.
You want to explain that?
Well, it's hard. I can't.
I know. Well, it means that you walk out of a service. How do you feel when you leave a service? You should feel uplifted.
That's true.
Encouraged, at peace. That you've heard from God, that you've talked to God, that you spent quality time in his presence. But I, like you, grew up in a set of services many, many times where, you know, it was basically preached, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you know, this and this, you got to really, you know. And it's hard for a lot of people with that kind of upbringing to realize that they are worthy to have the blessings of God in their lives. They are worthy to have all that God has for them. And it's not something to be taken lightly. We should grab those blessings. We should go after them. And we should say, I want God, I want the best that you have for me. I don't want the little, just a little nugget of your blessing. I want to really, you know, like Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob and he wrestled with God?
Yes.
And he said, I'm not letting go of you. I think in Genesis, about, I forget what chapter, but it seems like 33 or so. And Jacob said, God, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we need to become. We need to get to that point, then.
We do. There again, people just feel, they feel they're not worthy.
Right.
And of course, that's a trick of the enemy, you know.
Oh,
and
totally.
And I'm hoping that with this show, as of the numerous shows that are going to occur after this one, people will begin to realize it. They are worthy.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jesus died for them.
Oh.
They're worthy.
Right.
The Son
Amen.
Of the living God died for them and
Amen.
Rose. That's important. Rose. Died and rose.
Right.
And they're worthy.
Amen.
They are worthy.
We're going to go back to Matthew 8,
all
1.
Right.
And Jesus comes down from the crowd and he's been teaching and he's been speaking the Sermon on the Mount. And he comes down and the very first person that approaches him for healing is a leper. And we talked about this last week, that leprosy was a very, very awful, vile disease, and it was so bad that the leper could not really associate with people that weren't leprous. And if the leper was in their presence, somebody's presence that didn't have leprosy, he had to yell out unclean, unclean about himself. So he had to announce that he was in the crowd and that he was a leper. Well, I find this fascinating, Matthew. And if you missed last week's show, go to our website. They're always up there, like Monday after the show on Sunday. So you can go and you can catch up. But the leper appears and comes before Jesus. And he bows down to his knees and he says, Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. And I love this. He says, if you want to. And Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I don't know if I really want to or not.
I think you're in the wrong version.
I'm in the wrong version,
yes,
right?
Lord.
So Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I want to be clean. It was not a matter of, let me think this over and let me pray about it for 5 days. No, it was simply, I want to be clean. Then and there, all signs of the leprosy were gone. I mean, he was immediately healed. It wasn't a matter of, well, let's see how you are in about 8 weeks. It wasn't like that. Jesus, with the touch of Jesus, he healed him immediately. And the point is, Jesus said, I want to be cleansed, be healed. And this is the point we're trying to make today, Nan. Jesus wants to heal us. It's not something that that he wants to make us suffer. On Wednesday night, in fact, I filled the board up, the 16 feet of whiteboard last Wednesday night. You were homesick.
I was.
But I'll tell you what, we debunked a bunch of myths. And that's what's on our board in the Bible study room at church. And one of the myths we debunked is that God causes suffering on people. God doesn't. This world we live in, human nature, disease, germs, whatever. God has no cancer in heaven. God does not go around and say, okay, you've not been so sweet here lately, Nan, so I'm going to put this on you and make you suffer. God does not do that. He does not do that. The leper comes to Jesus, says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus didn't say, man, you've lived a pretty rotten life. I think you should just suffer with your leprosy.
Why? This has been a life-changing concept for me to be able to learn and move forward with.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, I can remember the times, you know, when something would happen and, you know, one of my parents would say something about, you know, God's going to do this if you don't, you know, and it was like a threatening kind of thing.
You grew up with that punishment thing, that mentality of God punishing.
I mean, I love my parents. They raised me in church. I'm happy. I love them.
But it's a myth. It's a myth that God uses disaster, sickness, disease to punish people. He does not. God is love. His whole essence is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. His whole nature is love. He doesn't have all this punishment. That's not his mentality. That's the devil punishing us with condemnation, with the error of our own ways, you know, etc.
We just need to learn a lot from this.
Don't we? Okay, the next thing that happens immediately is a centurion, a Roman, came up, not a Jew, came up to Jesus and he said, my servant is lying ill at home, about ready to die. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Now, it doesn't say there, well, wait a minute, you're not a Jew.
Right.
Oh, I can't go heal your servant. You're not a Jew. Okay, doesn't say that at all. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion immediately says, oh, no, no, I don't want you to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. In one translation, it says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Okay, we are going to debunk this worthiness thing today as we talk, because we are all worthy. We are all worthy of healing. We are all worthy of the presence of Jesus doing miracles in our lives. But Jesus took this very well and he said, okay, I can heal from right here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I mean, he can do it no matter when, where, how. He doesn't.
Well, I think it shows how God is no respecter of persons, which is what the word tells us.
Amen.
I mean, he didn't say you're not a Jew. He looked. He didn't say that.
He didn't say that at all.
He saw someone who needed to be healed.
Right. And he goes, oh, okay, sure. I'll do that. I'll come right now. Which is so interesting to me, Nan, that God is such an on the spot. You need something right now? Oh, let me do it for you right now. Okay? It's almost like people have a mentality of, well, God's so busy with all the people in whatever country, let's say, Bangladesh. Is that still a country? I don't know.
I believe it is.
You know, they change those things so much. But, okay, God's so busy with that Japan or whatever, and he doesn't have time for me. I have heard people actually say God has so much on his plate. I've heard people say that.
Wow.
That he doesn't have time for just my little problem. My problem's not that big. It's not that bad. I mean, no. That mentality.
Well, I was thinking the other day, to use an analogy of the internet,
Oh, let's use the analogy of the internet.
The internet is like a one central thing. Look at how much spawns off of the internet.
Right.
I mean, everybody's on the internet.
Right.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
And we're getting done what we need to get done.
Oh, that's good.
You know, you like that?
Yeah. Nobody says, oh, wait a minute. You know, there's too many people over in Europe on the internet right now.
And that
good point.
That doesn't happen. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I said, you know, that's pretty cool. I could get on, you know, get in, log in, I'm in. You can log in, you know, as I need to go in, I can go
excellent
in.
Excellent metaphor.
And that's the way that it is with God.
Excellent metaphor, because so often we feel like he's got more important mm-hmm. things to do. I can't tell you the number of times I have heard that through the years. Or somebody says, oh, I just have a cold. I don't need to bother God with that. Yeah, you want to continue to get miserable and be worse and worse. Let's give every one of our issues learn to do that. It's not something a lot of people grew up doing, though, Nan.
Right.
It's foreign to a lot of people. And we don't condemn you out there today if you have a hard time believing God for healing. Hopefully through this series you'll learn to do that and get your toe in the water here and start experiencing how God does care about every detail of our lives.
He does.
So he says to the centurion says, oh, no, just speak the word, okay? Which is so wonderful. That'll preach. Just speak the word, you know? That's it right there. Speak the word. Just speak what God says about you. And he said, I know my servant will be healed. Talk about faith.
That was some serious faith. Oh, I mean, I don't know much about the centurion. I mean, what do you know anything?
He was just a centurion guard. He was a captain over 100 people.
Okay.
Soldiers. And so he understood authority.
Ah.
And he even said here, you know, I understand authority. He said right here in, let's look at verse 10. Of Matthew 8. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. The very people are supposed to know all about God, the Israelites, and how he works. This man is a vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right there, Jesus is saying, this gospel is not just for the Jews. Mm-hmm. All these others are going to come in, and we're all going to be sitting at the same banquet table in heaven, right?
Right.
Okay, and then he said, then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace and wondering what happened. And above that, in about verse 8 or 9, this centurion says, I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes to another, come, and he comes to my slave, do this, and he does that. In other words, the man was saying, look, all you have to do is just say the word. Just speak the word of healing over my servant, and he will be healed. And so in verse 13 of Matthew 8, Jesus turns to the captain and says, go. What you believed could happen has happened. At that moment, his servant became well. This is a lesson to all of us about what it takes as far as our faith, how our faith is involved in our healing. Carol, you just joined us. Are you on the air from beautiful, snowy, icy Georgia?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Georgia today. I should work for the Chamber of Commerce.
Hey, Carol.
I thought you
Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fine today. Carol, how you doing?
I am doing very, very well. Very blessed.
Great. You are on the city council out up there, and you are mayor pro tem of that town. Are you not?
Yes, I am.
Okay, then. You are working for the city council then.
Yeah, I guess I am. You know, if that's not an interesting concept, I don't know what is. I think it's the classic example of...
Which concept? Refreshes.
Concept of being city council and mayor pro tem. It still kind of shocks me a little bit. Number one, that I would have the audacity to even think about running, and number two, I would be victorious in the running.
Right.
And number three, I feel like I'm a voice of reason on the council.
Sure, absolutely.
I am because of who he is.
Amen. Amen. And don't you find this, and I take it you were listening to us, right? You heard the story about the centurion in Matthew 8.
Yes,
and how he understood authority and the importance of being able to acknowledge that Jesus didn't even have to go to his house. All he had to do was just speak the word, and he had such faith in the word of Jesus, did he not?
Yes, he did, and you know, we do too. I mean, how many times, and be earnest, each of you, how many times have you either offered a prayer for yourself or someone else or asked a question of God, and then you suddenly hear your doorbell ring, or 2 or 3 days later, there's a knock on the door, and Jesus is standing there going, hey, it took me a while to get here, but
no,
I think we can talk about what you asked me.
Okay.
It doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. It's not 2 or 3 days later. I mean, he hears us instantaneously.
He hears our thoughts. He knows what our thoughts are.
Amen.
Out of our crazy little heads.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? He knows if we are sincere and we ask him and we say, you know, Lord, I'm perplexed. I need help. I don't understand this. I've got this coming up. I don't have it. I have this surgery. I have this medical issue. Whatever it is.
Right.
And, or sometimes we just need to say, Lord, this is a beautiful day in Georgia, and I thank you for my blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He hears that. And he acts on what we ask him to do.
Amen. And here's a point I want to make today, which goes right along with what you just said, Carol. Faith must be based on God's promises, okay, of who he is and what he promises. And this guy, this Roman centurion, had heard about Jesus and knew that this was the Messiah. And he said, and like the leper, if you're willing, you can do this. And the centurion goes, oh, no, you don't even have to come to my house, sir. All you have to do is speak the word. He understood that this was the Messiah, that this was God. And I think so often we get bogged down with the details of our illness or the details of our emotional trauma or how much suffering we are going through that we don't realize that God understands all of that and is ready to do something about it. Nan, and, go ahead, Carol.
You know, the attacks on people. You know, as a pastor, you know what attacks are.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
You know, you kind of been through one or two. And those of us that truly love God and talk to him on a one-to-one basis, we know what attacks are.
Right.
And we know that sometimes our mind is so filled with the attack of people who, for whatever the reason, they're either jealous or greedy or hateful or whatever it is, trying to attack us, and we get perplexed about how to deal with it.
Right.
And that's when we should open our arms up and say, Lord, this is bigger than me.
Absolutely, Carol. Oh, my gosh, you're right on. And look at this. The Roman centurion, who was a man with people and soldiers under him, understood that he needed God in this situation. He needed somebody bigger than what he could do about it. I would imagine this guy could have afforded all the best doctors. But what does he do? He finds Jesus, you know?
Yeah. You know, he could have. I'm sure in his day and time, you know, being in charge of 100 men, he had pretty much anything
in the world that his
family or he needed.
Right.
But he still recognized the one thing he couldn't buy, the one thing he didn't have himself, was the power to heal.
Yes. Yes.
And that came because he knew who Jesus was, and he asked him for that healing, that blessing.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think
he could have said, hey, look, you come to my house and heal this guy. I'll give you 100 whatever the lira, whatever they had.
Yeah.
It wasn't that kind of a thing.
No. He realized that it was God he was dealing with right here. Nan, don't you think there's a lot of people that don't understand that God wants to heal us, whether it's emotionally or physically? And so they just walk around with the same old baggage. You know, let's talk about emotional for now. Let's talk about, instead of a physical issue like this was, let's talk about the people that walk around thinking they have to put up with the pain of the past all their lives and that they're never going to be in a good place, you know, emotionally.
Well, it's like they move around with a ball and chain.
A ball and chain.
And
there you go.
And they'll carry their ball and drop it. They'll move a little further, and then they'll get, you know.
Oh, that's so true.
They'll just kind of hobble through life thinking that because their situation or circumstances could be so horrific,
right,
that they can't feel they can be healed from them.
Right.
You know, like you say, you're not going to forget what's happened to you.
Right.
But you can move forward.
Absolutely.
In freedom. and be rid of that ball and chain that's keeping you down, because, you know, that's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about being lifted up and,
right,
you know, and helping other people in similar situations.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Both of you were speaking earlier about the condemnations that we find in,
yes,
churches and so forth.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think that we need to open the gates of heaven and close the gates of hell.
Right.
When we speak to people about God and trying to get people who have not been exposed to Jesus, and it's still very difficult for me in our day and time to realize there are still people.
Oh, there are.
Who do not know. So if they go to a place where it's all condemnation, I remember as a young girl going to evangelist tents and listening to the evangelist. Nobody else in my family went. Even as young as 7, 8, 9 years old, I went. And they would take me and drop me off and leave me and come back and pick me up. And I remember then all of the negative talk that was going on from the pulpits and,
right,
those little tents,
right,
where the evangelists came. And I can remember thinking, what does God do for good people?
Right.
How do you become a good person to God? And I would go home and sometimes I would ask my mother, like, how do you get good with God?
Right.
Because all I had heard was, if you do this, you're going to rot in the pits of hell. If you do that, you're going to be prevented from this and the other. I think we need to teach, as this one pastor that I knew years ago, Pastor Hugh Foster in the Methodist Church in Lake Alfred, Florida, said, find the goodness and the mercy in Jesus and run to it.
Right. Amen. It's all about goodness and mercy. That's why we opened the show with that song today, Carol, about mercy. He's the healer of our brokenness, and he's greater than my yesterdays. I wrote that phrase down, and I love that. I'm going to use that. Nan, remind me to use that phrase. He's greater than my yesterdays, because my yesterdays get so overwhelming, not just mine, but a lot of us still live in the pain of the past. Maybe relationships that have gone sour, friendships that have just been less than good, spouses, just things that have happened to us that we carry around a lot of baggage. Carol, this is a day of freedom. Jesus, he said that the anointing was upon him when he preached his first sermon in Luke 4. He quoted Isaiah 61, 1-5, which is our vision for Beacon of Hope. And it says that the anointing of God is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to raise people out of their junk. That's why Jesus came, Carol. That's why he's here. He is greater than our yesterdays. Woo! That'll preach.
Far greater than our yesterdays.
Woo, yeah.
And even more bright than our tomorrows.
Amen.
You know, tomorrow is a day that God will bring wonderful things to each of us.
Right.
If we simply know and believe that in our heart.
Right.
You know, so many people go to sleep at night thinking, oh, gosh, I don't want to get up tomorrow. I've got to face the boss. I've got to get my kid in school and go meet with that crazy teacher. And I've got to whatever it is.
Right.
You know, but our tomorrows, if you start your tomorrow by opening your door and say, this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
I will rejoice in it.
Being excited about what God is doing in our lives. Nan, tell me about this, because you did not used to have such a desire for God that you now have, right?
Correct.
How did that change? Help our audience, and then I'll get to Carol and ask you the same question. How has that changed in your life? You're not the same person you were when I met you 4 years ago.
No. Well, it changed because you begin to live it.
It
becomes a part of you.
Yes.
You know, it's not just, you know, well, the Word of God. The Word of God, which contains all this wonderful information, is love letter from our God.
Don't just leave
it on the shelf, but it goes with
yes.
you. It becomes alive.
Right.
It becomes alive in your life.
Right.
And when you let it become alive in your life, that makes the change. The
yes.
Word of God living within me,
right.
Son of God,
right.
Jesus, makes the difference.
That's right.
What makes me put, I always goof this up, a skip in your step in your, I always do that. You know what I mean?
Skip in your step?
There you go.
Okay, like a little dance step,
exactly.
Huh? In your step. Okay, but that is what God does in our lives and gives us purpose and defines us as to who we really are. So, Carol, don't you think there's so many people out there who really are just stuck back in the ruts of yesterday?
Definitely. And a lot of it has to do with the persons with whom they linger.
Right.
If you're in a family where everything is negative and there's not a kind word spoken, a good word spoken, a hallelujah, amen, thank God for this and that, you don't know if it's acceptable to praise it. I think sometimes when you grow up in a home like that, there's no joy.
Right.
Any sense of joy that might spark out is squelched.
Right. So true.
And when we put ourselves with people that way, we squelch the joy of Jesus in us.
Oh, amen.
We don't fertilize it.
Yeah.
We don't water it. We don't watch it bloom. We don't give praise and thanks for the wonderful things that are taking place in front of our eyes.
Right.
And I think those are the changes that make people realize that there is something other than a naysayer. There is something other than, well, God doesn't know who you are.
Right.
He doesn't care about you. Who are you to care about him? When we begin to look at people that say those things to us and say, well, you know, your life isn't exactly a blooming flower itself.
Yeah.
I can't live in this kind of joyless world.
But, Carol, so many people do, and so many people are content to stay in the pain of the past.
That's what they know.
That's what they know. Their comfort, that's their comfort zone. We talk a lot on this show about the comfort zone. People get into that rut, get into that way of thinking. They don't see themselves ever living a better life, you know? And I'm not talking about having more things. I'm talking about having more peace and joy and contentment and purpose. Carol, a lot of people don't have purpose, you know?
It's back to what Nan said, unworthiness.
Right, it is.
When someone, especially in a power of authority over you, whether it be your parents, an older sibling, or a younger sibling that thinks they run the household, even you know when they're in their 50s and 60s, or a relationship where one partner has not been able to express who they are and to bring joy and excitement into the lives of the relationships that they have. It goes all the way back to unworthiness. We let people convince us that we are less than a grain.
Absolutely.
And God says, that is not who you are. You are my bright morning star, my joy. And I will lift you to the heavens as far as you want to go. Stay with me. I promise you there's a better thing coming.
Right.
Walk out that door of depression and angst and unforgiveness. Step out into this beautiful scene of cool breeze, warm sunshine, flowers everywhere and birds singing. It's yours. Open the door and walk out.
And quit beating yourself up, you know, because I think this is where a lot of people are, Carol. You know, this, again, Jesus is the healer of our brokenness, and he's greater than all those yesterdays. And so he can, he's the healer. He can heal the past hurts from those relationships that did not go the way you wanted them to go. The disappointment, the devastation, the divorce, whatever it might have been that you went through. Or maybe you've lost everything financially. In this day and age, that's pretty common with the great recession that we've just gone through.
Yes, and people
you know,
have that happen.
Right.
You know, they want to think I'm less than because I couldn't hold it together.
Right.
Sometimes
exactly.
There's things that we can't hold together.
Right.
You know, like you're saying, the financial world, we don't always have control over that financial world.
Right.
You know, we do have control over our spirituality.
Right.
We can choose to be a believer.
We can choose.
Choose to walk down that path of happiness and joy. Or we can choose to live in that dirty, old, nasty, dank road that every time you kick the sand, it comes back up and sprays all over you.
Right, exactly. Well,
and, you know, we are worthy. That's we've got to have
absolutely.
People understand. They are worthy. They deserve it. The same God that spreads joy to the people that people might admire is the same God that's waiting for you to step through.
Amen. Amen. And it's a decision.
Yeah,
all of this is a decision.
He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have relationships, family relationships, personal relationships, work relationships, especially a relationship with him. When we
Amen.
Quit trying to do everything by ourselves and look to God and say, okay, here's the deal. I am helpless. I am hopeless. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go.
He loves us to say that.
Could I hook my horse to your wagon?
He loves it when we say that, Carol. When we make a quality decision to turn around from the past and move forward into a new day. We're going to talk about that, about the life of David, in just a moment. But we're going to have this song that I love, Matthew West. He is a great artist. The Healing Has Begun.
Carry the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Healing has begun. Whoa, the healing has begun. How long has it been since you felt anything but shame? Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. Tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today is the day. Yeah, today is the day. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
Ago. Woo, holding on to their guilt, full of shame. Oh my, that song says it all. This is what God is wanting to do in our lives, do a healing. Let's go to Psalm 51. Let me give you a little background. David was the sweet psalmist, right? He was the second king of Israel. Saul chased him and tried to kill him 21 times. And David, although was a man after God's own heart, still he did things and said things he shouldn't have done. He actually was a murderer. David was an adulterer. And in Psalm 51, he writes this right after he's been caught in adultery and in murder. And instead of saying, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do, which is what a lot of people do when they're caught in their sin or their error, whatever it is, yeah. You know, don't they, Nan?
That's the words we used to use. Oh, error.
I'm an error. Error. Yeah. Okay. Error. Well, Psalm 51, David says, and I'm reading out of the Message Bible. generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, which we've just had two songs about mercy. Wipe out my bad record. Guess what, dear one? God can and will and wants to wipe out your bad record. He wants to give you a clean slate. And David understood this. And David says here in Psalm 51, scrub away my guilt. Scrub away my guilt. Sometimes guilt just feels like, you know, when you're just filthy, dirty, and you've been out working in the hot sun, and you've been working in the garden, you got dirt all over you, you know, you've been planting new plants, you know, scrub out, soak out my sins in your laundry. In other words, David says, God, I realize I'm a mess right here. I have really sinned against you, you know, and this Psalm 51 shows the repentant David. David saying, okay, God, I have been found out. You know, it says in the word, be sure your sins will find you out. And they do. You know, come on. What goes around comes around. I mean, you plant seeds of meanness and nastiness and ugly words and slander and gossip. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. That's the way it works, you know. You, Nan, you want to comment on that? I thought you were getting ready to.
Well, no, I was just, something came to mind when you're talking about gossip. It's interesting, depending on which side of it you are on.
Okay.
My cousin has been diagnosed with cancer in somewhere around his lungs, but it's not really that bad, and it's whatever. And my aunt was absolutely appalled at the rumors that they've got going around that little town, because they said that the doctor sent him home to die.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. And I was just, what went through my mind when you said gossip? You know, people don't realize when they gossip, they're hurting people.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That's what came to my mind. I'm sorry.
Okay,
you know,
no, but, that's okay.
You know, that's what
but don't you think probably Jerusalem was talking about David? Because, I mean, Bathsheba is pregnant, right, and all of that. Don't you think that was probably going on? But what David says here, which I love this, he says down in about verse 4, he says, you're the one I've violated, and you've seen it all and seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. He is submitting himself to God and saying, God, you know that I really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Carol, talk to us about this. God sees it all.
He sees it all, and he's just kind of sitting there waiting for us to declare that it was wrong, that we
right.
that we need to have what we call in court terms, have our past transgressions expunged.
Right, exactly.
And that means that they're forgiven forever and forgotten in the court system. If
right.
you have your history expunged,
right.
you have to pay a price to do that.
That's because, right.
You know, we have to pay monetarily to have that done. But if we are having our transgressions from the past expunged by God, it's begging and asking for forgiveness.
Right.
And not saying, now, Jesus, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm not going to do this again. I promise you I'm not.
Right.
Because we're lying when we say that.
Yeah, because we're human, and we might end up making the very same mistakes over and over and over again. But he forgives us every single time we do it.
That's right. But we kind of conveniently forget that we asked for forgiveness and made a promise that we weren't going to do it again.
Right.
But the good thing about you, like you said, over and over and over.
Right. Too easy to do that.
Our slate clean.
But I love the fact that David is so repentant here, Nan and Carol. He is not, I mean, he's the king of Israel. He could have thrown.
You know, he got his hand caught in the cookie jar, let's be honest.
Well, he did. But, you know, he doesn't admit it until Nathan the prophet comes and says and confronts him. And then when he is confronted, the good thing is David, he bows his knee before God and says, okay, God, yeah, I did do all that.
Well, you know, the word says that, you know, David had a heart after God.
Yes.
You know, God, I didn't say that right.
He does, yes. 1 Samuel 16:7, yeah. David had a heart after God.
You know, and he... The position that he was within with God, you know, what a level of trust was there.
Yes.
Whatever, you know, I'm not really no. what I'm trying to say.
That's okay,
I'm
but
sorry.
He did. He had that heart after God. Why? Not because he was perfect, but because he knew how to get forgiven. Okay, because right here in Psalm 51, after this great awful sin, murder, adultery. He says, okay, God, I have hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the other people. And he said, I've been out of step with you for a long time. I love that. In about verse 5, maybe, in the Message Bible. I'm not sure what it says in other translations. But David says, you have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong sense before I was born. In other words, David was saying, you know what? I've just really messed up here. He's being repentant. Carol, don't you think this is what we need to be before God? God, I have been out of step. I have not been in the Word, let's say, or I have not been talking to you, and I have really done some things or whatever that have caused you sadness and grief, but also myself and people around me, you know?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of an example about that years ago.
Does this have to do with a cow or a sheep?
I'm sorry?
Does this have to do with cows or sheep?
Well, it almost kind of does.
Carol's an old cow sheep farmer. Go ahead.
There was a guy in my very, very, very small town in Florida where I had my ranch and my farm, and he was known as a young man, known as a thief and a liar.
Oh.
And everything you could imagine. I mean, that was his trademark. When he walked, he left that air, and you could see the words coming out of his body. Thief, liar. As he went past.
Had a bad reputation then.
Had a bad reputation. And he did some things to me that were deplorable.
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, I disliked him immensely.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, please don't ever come in. And I did say please, because I really meant it sincerely. I said, Ben, please do not come into my presence anymore. I have put up with you and put up with you, and I'm through.
Okay.
So make it your business to get away from me. If I approach a place where you are, you say, excuse me, and you leave. I said, because I'm not happy, and you've done enough dastardly things to me.
Okay.
And I'm tired of defending them.
Right.
So, long story short, and I didn't see him, even though he had come to my house 2 or 3 times after I wasn't there and had stolen more things.
Oh, my.
Broke into my truck and stole some stuff.
Oh.
So I had not seen him for a very long time. I was in Lakeland at a church in Lakeland where I was the deacon. And all of a sudden, one Sunday night at service, I looked up, and in he walks.
Wow.
And he hugged the wall. I mean, he realized that I was there. He didn't know I was there. And when he saw me, he was caught between a rock and a hard place.
He was scared of you, Carol.
He was scared that I was going to act out or expose him.
Right.
And I had a real come-to-Jesus meeting. I looked him straight in the face, and I approached him. And he broke out into a sweat.
I imagine.
And he was trembling. And I walked up to him, and this is God and God alone that changed my heart. I walked up to him, and I said, Ben, welcome to the house of our God. And
wow.
I hugged him, and I said, all is forgiven.
Wow. Praise God.
I'll tell you the truth. It was one of the most profound moments with my experience with God. I did not feel any angst. I did not feel any anger. I said, I forgive you for everything that you've ever said or done.
Whoa.
Or me. And welcome. And how can I help you in the house of God?
What did Ben say?
He fell straight down to his knees, and he said, Lord, forgive me.
Wow. Wow.
Lord, forgive me. And I helped him get up, and I said, all is forgiven.
Praise God. And that's a perfect example of the love and the forgiveness that God offers us and offered David in the midst of David having really messed up. You know, that's a good example, Carol. It's interesting. We get into these cycles in our lives, and David says, I've been out of step with you for a long time. We can get out of step with God, people. Nan, talk to me about this. We can get off into doing our own thing, not paying attention to our daily need to spend time with God. Don't you think we can get out of step with God so easily?
I've done that. You know,
yeah.
I think as we all probably have done that. And it, you just kind of get caught up in life issues, as I call them, life issues that we all have to deal with. And
right.
Different ones, but still life issues. And so we sometimes lose focus of, you know, of what's the most important thing is
right.
Our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing in all of our lives.
It's absolutely
where we are with him. And, you know, it's like, I have a friend that's a real good friend of mine, and I like to, you know, talk to her, see what's happening with her, and she with me, and things right. like that. And, you know, if you don't keep real and close in touch, you know, you miss something there. You
sure.
can always catch up. We've always heard of old friends find each other after years, and they catch
right.
up. But you really can't totally catch up and make up for the time
right. that
you
have lost.
Been, you know,
right.
and you lose that. You know, you get so caught up with things that you don't maintain contact with that friend of yours
right.
who's special, or that friend of yours who's sick or whatever. You can't make that up, but that's the way it is with God,
right,
that we,
right.
you know, we need to be on top of it all the time, you
yeah.
know? And I can feel myself spiritually, I can feel myself, I guess, kind of weak would be the best term to use there, you know, when I don't spend the time that I'm supposed
Amen.
To spend
yes.
in study of the word and,
yes.
in, you know, and in prayer and everything.
Well, for David to say, I've been out of step with you for a long time, leads me to believe that he easily fell into the traps that the devil had laid for him, you know, when it came to murder and adultery and whatever, because he wasn't in that right place with God. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. Didn't even realize what the
wow.
time is. Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
That first hour flew
yeah.
by, and we're glad you're joining us here today on Living the Good Life. Tell a friend about our radio ministry. We are in our seventh year. Hard to believe, Nan, that we are... Yeah, it's just crazy. It's amazing. It's gone by since so quickly. So we will celebrate in April our seventh anniversary, completing 7 years on the air. And that's exciting. And just because there's so much that God has given us through these years in these shows. And we started out as a one-hour show, and then it went to 90 minutes for a long time. And then now it's been two hours for a long time. Go to our website, and that is easy to find. And it is... www.bohmglobal.com. We recently shortened it from the Beacon of Hope Ministries.com, and either one will work. bohmglobal.com is easier to tell people about, and it is our same website, and which we revamped a few months ago, actually about a year ago right now, getting ready to do some more to it soon. But tell people about it, bohmglobal.com. Carol, would you mention the prayer ministry that you and Pastor Jim do for Beacon of Hope International Global? Can you mention that?
Yes, I can. It's a very, very viable part of a ministry at Beacon of Hope. It's where people anywhere in the world, either by phone or by writing a note to email at prayers at beaconofhopeglobal.com, write your concerns, write your requests for prayers. And either myself or Pastor Jim will pick it up and get a prayer out to you immediately or as soon as we can. You know, something comes at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when people are, tragedies are happening, we may not pick it up at that instant, but it will be picked up first thing in the morning.
Right.
And we need to constantly remind people that we have so much success on that prayer line, and it's due to the dedicated prayer warriors who receive these prayer requests, pray over them, and don't pray over them just once. They constantly keep going back and thanking God and praising God for whatever that person needs.
Amen.
That has written the prayer. And we have so many successes. It's just impossible to believe the numbers of things that change.
Oh.
Reports change before the next day is even
Oh,
there.
It's crazy. There's so many. We want you to send your praise reports to us also when those answers happen.
Definitely,
so,
because we do report those. And
we do.
And it just, you know, it just gives us a little boost of energy that we're doing the right thing. We're hearing the word of God, and we're speaking the words that bring comfort through him to people who are hurting.
Amen.
It's a very, very important part of our ministry.
That address is prayers at bohmglobal.com. And you are now manning the church phone, you and Maxine. And I was overwhelmed being a full-time realtor and a full-time pastor. So the church phone is now in Georgia, and you guys can answer any questions, directions to the church, etc. You've been here recently. You know how to get there to our new facility. The church
yes.
phone at phone number is 813-417-3377. You can actually use that phone now to call and get Carol to return the call, and you will pray with people on the phone. Will you not, Carol?
Most definitely. And you know, if it's somebody local within, I don't want to put a mile limit on it, but if it's somebody local that needs somebody to come to the hospital or
right, sure,
facility or the funeral home, whatever it is, you know, I'll go in, take a shower, put my suit on, tie my shoelaces, and take off.
That's right. And then if it's somebody down here in our area, in our home base in Clearwater, although we do have people scattered in a lot of different places in the United States, but if it's right here, then you let us know and we go from there. So you can use that phone, 813-417-3377. Even though we're in Pinellas County now, we originated this ministry in 2001 in Tampa. So it was an 813 number, 813-417-3377. Prayer line is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Use that. Send you in your prayer requests.
I do have something I want to say about the prayer line, because recently we have had three different situations. We believe it to be the same person that is trying to play funny little games with the prayer line.
Right.
And I will personally tell you that those kinds of things
right.
are
That's not welcome. No.
You know, this is a viable ministry.
Absolutely. We got too many people using it, needing the prayer line. So
yes, and they take up valuable time. They, you know, if you're trying to trick the church or be ugly to the church.
Yeah, just don't do it. Just don't do it.
I don't think that's what God really wants you to do.
No, absolutely. All right, station ID, here we go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. So welcome back to Living the Good Life. Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. Pastor Marcia here with Nan in the studio where we are every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And excited, that's Tampa time, excited to be here with our wonderful engineer, Cedric. And we've got Carol, one of our radio team members up there in Georgia from her home and from the comfortableness of her sofa. And isn't that amazing what technology gives us these days? Today we are in our series. We began it last Sunday. So if you missed last Sunday's radio show, go to our website, and that is bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com. Listen to last week's show. We've got about 280, 290 shows on our website. We've got a huge website. You can go and listen to a lot of teaching. Nan, you're one of these that does that a lot, and in the past, you've gone middle of the night when you can't sleep. You have been one of these that's accessed the old shows, have you not?
Yes, it's nice to be able to do that. You know, if you're having problems sleeping, get up and listen to them. I know there was one particular one about Don't Buy the Lies.
Oh, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I listened to it within a 24-hour period. I listened to it three times and took notes each time.
Wow.
And I was typing my notes as I was taking. I was typing.
Wow.
And typing, not handwriting.
Right.
And I got some fantastic notes off of that program and just felt I was supposed to go to it three times. So that's what I did.
Right.
And it was, and I picked up different things each time.
Sure.
That I didn't
catch
the time before.
And all this great music that we use is contemporary, and you can just keep listening to it and all that. Let's go to this song. It's a new one. And Carol, it's your cousin Beth who found this song. Beth is waiting on a liver transplant in Georgia, and we are believing God for that to happen for her. And she is the one who discovered the song, did she not?
She did. You know, her faith has been tested. She's a strong Christian along with her husband.
Right.
And her faith has been tested. And she knows that God is her healer, and she, you know, searches for answers and reasons to be closer to Him and praise Him more. And she stopped me Saturday in the middle of her driveway and said, "You got to hear this song." And I think it very well explains a lot of why we have to get rid of the brokenness in our lives.
Amen.
We have to remove the OPD, the other people's dirt.
There you go.
Get it out of our life and get it out of our body and take in the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. This song is Break Every Chain by Tasha Cobbs.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. You declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Yeah. To break.
Great song. Nan just written a poem. And went, oh, I love that song. I'm going to talk more about it in a minute. Go ahead, Nan, with what God just gave you.
I actually titled it, The Chain Can Be Broken.
But the chain can be broken.
This
Amen.
Written a little bit earlier in the show.
Right.
The healing can begin today. The decision is totally up to you. Will you reach out to me? Just what will you do? I desire such for you, my child. Look to and reach out to me. From the guilt that will hold, from the guilt that you hold, will hold you, you, from the guilt that held you, you can be definitely freed. Ask me, my child, I am here for you. Reach out to me with all of your might. You'll be healed from guilt and shame. Freedom, for you, freedom is certainly in sight.
Oh, that is so right on.
It's like,
yeah.
I just really feel like there's people who are still, they don't understand the concept the way that I do now.
Right.
And like you asked me earlier in the show, how did I come to a point of understanding
yes,
that?
Yes.
And it was I stayed under the teaching. You're right. Teaching. You must stay under the teaching and listen to the sermons and the Bible studies and learn that way. And I would really encourage them to, whether they're listening to this now live or later on the website, listen to the show two or three times. Do right. like I did. I took yeah. notes on one
yeah.
three times in a row. You know, and that way it builds up faith within you when you hear
right.
it. And when you hear it again, that's how the chains can be broken, and that you can realize you are not unworthy. You are worthy to
You're
receive
worthy.
The healing.
You're worthy because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what it's all about. Let's go back to Psalm 51 here. And I love that fact that David realizes this. And look at verse 7. He says, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me into foot tapping songs. I love that. Set these once broken bones to dancing. And, you know, don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. And then he says, God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. I really believe, Carol and Nan, that so many people get so bogged down in the shame and guilt of the past that they absolutely cannot understand that God wants to forgive all that. And he doesn't want us dwelling on our past. Carol, don't you believe that people get so hung up on their past, on all their failure and all their disappointment?
Sure they do. That's what we call human nature.
Right.
Because the world doesn't forgive us. The world's a very unforgiving place.
Right.
You make a boo-boo, you get fired. You do something that your family, some member of your family doesn't like, and they don't speak to you for the rest of your lifetime.
Right.
Maybe you forget to pay a bill or you don't have the money to pay a bill, so they come and remove whatever it was you should have paid for.
Right.
we're constantly having our joy stolen from us.
Right.
We're having the joy of Jesus stomped on right in front of us, and we don't have enough skills in prayer. We don't have enough skills in a relationship with Jesus to stand forward and stand tall and say, you will not do this. In
That's
the name
right.
of my Jesus, you will leave me alone. You know, God tells us, as far as the east is from west, does he remember our transgressions?
Amen. That's Psalm 103. When he forgives us, it says right there, and I'm just going to quote that right above what you just said. That's Psalm 103, starting with verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward us. And he's removed our sin. When we ask God to forgive us, it's removed. And it's gone. God does not remember it. Nan wants to comment on that before we get back to you, Carol.
What came to mind? In a church situation one time, I had a woman come through and started confiding in me.
Okay.
And telling her story, and it was pretty bad, of what had been done to her in
right.
her childhood. And, you know, shared it in such a way that, you know, I'm only sharing it with you kind of stuff. And, you know, so I could pray about it or whatever. And then we had someone new come to the church. Hadn't even been there like one service, and of course I kind of say hi to people and talk to people, so they talk to me. She comes to me and she says, so and so over there told me her whole life story of what happened to her. What made me think is sometimes people don't want to let go of
right
their
yes
their, it's a weight that weighs them down, but
right yet,
that is their identity, and
right
they don't realize the identity
yes
that they can have that's available to them by letting all that stuff go and by walking away from it. It became this woman's identity.
Right.
And then I found out she was telling other people her story. So she was just going around the church telling people her story, which
right
was bad, which now I wonder if it was really all accurate or not. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But
right
she was just caught up in that was her identity. And
that
we
was
need
her
to
identity
realize whose we are.
Oh,
we are
praise
the children
God
of
yes
the living God.
Yes. And we get so bogged down when we rehash the past mm-hmm over and over and over again. Talk to us, Carol.
Well, I really enjoy the concept that we find in Psalm 51:10, which says, create in me a new heart, O God.
Yes, I love that.
A steadfast spirit within me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nan is correct. People wear their baggage as a sign of, this is who I am.
Right.
And they don't know that they can experience joy because either they've shut the door on joy or they have not experienced joy. And they are the person who was the battered individual. They are the person who had a bad relationship, bad divorce. They are the person who whatever, whatever. And instead of saying, I am a new spirit, I have been created afresh and anew, and I know that I know Nan well enough to know that if she can help somebody find that new spirit in themselves, she'll be at the front door banging on it and saying, come on, we're going to look for your new spirit. We're going to find it right here.
Thank you, Carol.
And she'll pick up her Bible and she will tell them, or she will say, come to Bible study.
Right.
Come to church. Let us speak to you of the joy of Jesus.
Right.
Not the condemnation, not the
right.
hellfire and brimstone. But the joy of Jesus, how you can create
amen.
A new spirit with mm-hmm. God directing and leading you and Jesus going, amen, every time you take a step forward.
Well, absolutely.
You know, we cannot, and I let me tell you, I know what the back door of bad looks like.
The back door of bad? Okay.
Well, you know, it's an ugly little door, and you can live behind that ugly little door.
Right.
Or you can say, oh, my stars, I made a mistake this morning. I opened the front door instead of the back door. I opened the front door, and the sunshine poured through, and I heard angels singing, it's the joyous new day made just for you, Carol.
Amen. But it is a matter of making decisions, quality decisions, when we are faced with an opportunity to wallow, and I like that word. It reminds me of pigs in Indiana. When we are given an opportunity to wallow in our past and our disappointment and our hurt and our yesterday and all of that, instead of just saying, okay, that's gone. It's behind me. I'm learned from it. Praise God. I let it go. I forgive. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done to you. It means you let it go. Nan's
you know,
wanting to.
I think why people, quote, wallow in their misery is because they don't think that. They're worthy of having the joy.
That's it right there, Carol. They feel like they're not worthy of having freedom.
Well, told them that, don't you know?
Right. And peace of mind. You know, so many people do not even desire peace of mind because they're so used to chaos and all the voices in their head. Nan wants to comment on this, Carol.
Well, you're talking about peace versus chaos.
Right.
Which is what you just said, and you said in the morning service. I mean, I can remember a time when you guys have known me that I lived in chaos.
Yes, you did.
It was, I mean, I was in counseling over it, and it took, I didn't quite really realize it at the beginning until you and someone else was able to help in counseling and help to point that out. You know?
Right.
And now I live in peace.
And so when you see it, you're going, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to spend time living back there. I want to move forward mm-hmm. into all that God has. So this show is about getting to a place in your life, dear one, where you say, okay, I want to be healed. I want to walk in the blessings of God. I want to let go of my shame and my guilt. I want to move forward into all that God has for me. And Carol, I'm glad you brought up verse 10 in Psalm 51 because David says, create in me a clean heart. He realized that God needed to do the work in him. So many times, Carol, we think that we are going to fix ourselves. Talk to me about that.
Well, it was like the incident with Ben. I could have stayed in that anger. I was the one, you know, he was laughing. When I was angry, he was laughing.
Yeah.
And it suddenly dawned on me because, number one, I left the situation that I was in. It was a bad situation. It was a situation that, like Nan spoke about earlier, of being in darkness.
Right.
And I was in darkness. And when we're weak, we are vulnerable to whatever happens. We
right.
will say yes to things we actually mean no.
Right.
You know, we really will because
right.
it's more peaceful. It's something we can deal with. We know how to handle that, whatever. And in that particular situation, when I said, and I came across this scripture because I was now not living in the situation where I had been previously. I was now living in a situation where God was directing.
Right.
My life. And that's why I was that deacon. I had put myself in service to God after many, 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 many years of denying the fact that I should.
Right.
So when I found, created me a new heart, a new spirit, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, I knew that I had to clear that off my chalkboard.
Right.
And I was thankful for the opportunity to do that.
Praise God. And God made that opportunity.
Yeah,
I mean, Ben didn't come there on purpose to see
oh,
you.
No.
That was just one of those lovely coincidences that God arranges.
You know, here's something I want to read to you. It says, we ask for strength, and God sends us difficult situations to make us strong. We pray for wisdom, and God provides us with problems that provoke us to come up with the solutions and develop wisdom. We ask for prosperity, and God gives us strength to work and wisdom to invent.
Right.
We ask for a favor, and God gives us a responsibility.
Right.
A large percentage of our success is the result of our eating the bread of adversity and drinking the bitter waters of affliction.
Right.
And when we can leave the breads of adversity and leave the bitter waters of affliction, we have begun to create that new spirit because we've asked God, create within me a new spirit. Teach me songs again. Show me colors again. I'd gotten to such a point that I don't care what color, I could have worn a pink shirt and it would have looked great to me.
Yeah, you were depressed and discouraged.
It's not that. I had just lost the joy
right.
of thinking
right.
Jesus cared for me.
Amen.
I didn't see it. There were things around me that I just did not like, but I didn't. I had to get the courage to step out in faith with God leading the way.
Amen. All right, let's get this song in, and we're going to talk more, Carol, on the other side of the song. Another Matthew West song. I'm playing two of them today. This one is Hello, My Name Is. I think you're going to like it. Hello, My Name Is.
My name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
Song. Hello, my name is precious child of the one true King. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been set free. I love that. The way he talks about regret and defeat. And then this line I wrote down, I'm no longer defined by the wreckage behind. Oh, Nan, you just wrote a poem during that song. So let's hear it. And you call it poem. So let's say it the way Nan says it, poem.
Shame and guilt can be gone. Child, reach out to me. I want you to be free as you can be. Do you desire to be free? It's up to you. I am here. Asking my help is all you need to do. You can be freed from it all. What will you decide to do? Leave it all behind. There are greater things in store. It's here. Freedom can be used. Will you choose to walk through the door?
Woo! So good.
And I know, like, with my, you know, with the counseling that I did, you know, with you and an individual at the church, you know, there were some doors that I had to walk to.
Yeah.
To be able to reach a point to be able to forgive others as well as even forgive myself.
That's right. Yes.
You know? And, you know, some people might be thinking, well, that's easy for you guys to say and blah, 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 blah. And then they can show up all kind of excuses of why they can't be freed.
Right.
It's their choice if they choose not to be free.
Right.
It's their choice. It's a choice that you
it's
can make.
It's a choice.
It doesn't necessarily mean it always happens instantaneously. It
right.
did not for me.
Right.
I was involved in a lot of counseling to be able to reach that point. And I don't mind saying that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, as long as you're in counsel with someone wise and godly and is on the mark with the Lord, you have to be careful who you know, go to or get involved with. But,
right.
you know, it's there.
Yes.
It is there. You know,
which speaking of the counseling, we do have a on-site counselor now, licensed, Angel Bosco, and you can call her number actually for an appointment at Beacon of Hope, and her number is 727-501-6557. I'll give you that again if any of you in the area would like to schedule an appointment with a licensed counselor. It is 727-501-6557. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King, Carol.
Yes, it is. You know, we have a counselor. We have Angel Bosco on campus, but we have the Holy Spirit in Jesus.
Amen.
And they counsel us. The Holy Spirit offers us great wisdom.
Right.
We just have to learn to accept it as great wisdom.
Absolutely.
We have to seek wisdom. You know, God tells us all the time, seek wisdom.
Amen.
You know, I mean, they're not. If you don't seek wisdom from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you won't find that wisdom you seek in a human being.
Right.
Because it has to be divine. It's a divine intervention. It's from someone who knows you better than you know yourself when you seek wisdom from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And as for the direction of the Holy Spirit, he will speak out and he will tell you what he wants you to know, what is being told to him, and the best ways to look out for ourselves, and the best ways to honor our God, and the best ways to give God away to people who are hurting because they don't know. This is a hurting world out there. People tell everybody, somebody every day is being told, you're not worthy,
right.
You're not good enough, you're not rich enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're just nobody.
Right.
You know, an exhorter is a person that hears those things being said to other people and steps in and says, and even before they even realize they're doing it, if they've been ordained by the Holy Spirit to be that exhorter, they step in, put their hands on that person's shoulder and say, you're an amazing individual.
Right.
I know you've been romped on, stomped on, beat up, kicked up, used in every way possible. But you are an amazing human being. And I want to show you what your amazing attributes are.
Well,
you are kind and you are wonderful. And you have, in my case, beautiful blue eyes to stare back.
There you go.
And I have a thing about beautiful blue eyes. I think they're so piercing.
Right.
And they're so open for transitions. So, you know, I have that to look at because I have someone who is there for me, ordained by God to be with me.
Right. But so,
that's an amazing thing.
Well, so often I think that we allow just the disappointments and the failures of the past. Nan, I'm really going to ask you to read that poem one more time. And if you want a copy of this, you can just write me personally. My email address is pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can write me. Pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll get a copy of this to you. But I think, Nan, God gave you this during that song, Hello, My Name Is. And what Carol is saying and what the song is saying, it all flows together so beautifully with this poem. So say it one more time.
Shame and guilt can be gone. Child, reach out to me. I want you to be all you can be. Do you desire to be free? It's up to you. I am here. Asking my help is all you need to do. You can be freed from all of it. What will you decide to do? Leave it all behind you. There are greater things in store. It's here. Freedom can be yours. Will you choose to walk through the door?
Amen. So what I hear in that poem is, do you desire to be free? Do you want to have a better life and let go of the guilt and shame? We talked about this a few minutes ago, but I want to go back to this point. So many people milk that. They wallow in the pain of the past. And you gave the story, Nan, of the person that was always telling her story. You know, we can all sit around and say, oh, well, let me top that. This awful thing has happened to me, and then this happened to me, and then this happened to me. We all have those kinds of... Go ahead, Nan, with that concept.
Well, we all have... We all have our stories. Some have different stories than others. We all have our stories. You know, and sometimes people want to only live in the bad part of their story.
Right.
One thing, though, to be said into that, it doesn't mean there are times like God's allowed the opportunity for me to be able to share with someone who's of a similar situation that I've been in.
Right.
To be able to let them see you can be free of this.
Amen.
That is totally different than what we're talking about people just running around trying to top each other's stories.
Well, it's because so often they get attention from the
exactly.
evil story.
Yes.
And they feel sorry for themselves. Self-pity is a really bad thing. You know, when people get caught up in that, it's a vicious cycle of feeling sorry for yourself, and then somebody tells you, oh, yeah, that's horrible what mm-hmm. happened to you. And then you feel even worse for yourself, and you don't feel worthy of the blessing of God because you're dwelling on the mm-hmm. pain of that awful thing. Some of you out there have been abused physically, domestic violence, which is a horrible thing, which we talked about recently in a show. But there is so many people. There are so many people out there, and you may be one of them today, that have been so put down and abused and defeated that all you can think about and dwell on is the pain of the past, and God wants to set you free from that. That's what I hear in that poem.
I'd like to put a little note in there also with that. Again, I like
go ahead,
to say
put
about,
a note in there.
I'll put a note in there. No. Angel Bosco, who is a licensed counselor.
Right.
I would like to encourage people if they're in the area and if they're in need of counseling. It's very affordable.
Right.
I know Angel.
Right.
And I can say, I know Angel. We've spent time together doing things. I've seen her in church. I know what she's like. She's very confidential.
She loves the Word.
Loves the Word and the Lord, and has a lot of great insights, because I've seen some of her insights just in conversations come out. So I've never sat in counsel under her, but I would feel confident to do that if that's necessary. So I just, you know, people may be feeling, you know, guilt or shame right now, and they're going, I need to talk to someone. I don't know what to do. Or I need a counselor. We have one available on staff.
Right.
That I would strongly encourage them to contact her.
And for an email address, all you need to do is write counseling or write Angel. Either one. That's her name. Angel or counseling. They'll both get to her at bohmglobal.com if you want an appointment. And then she can talk to you about that. So what is it? My name is Child of the One True King. Okay.
All right.
So if I'm Child of the One True King, then I have the right to let go of my past. And I have the ability, it says in Hebrews, and I want to run over there to Hebrews 4, where it says to come boldly to the throne of grace. Because I think a lot of us don't realize that God is encouraging us to ask Him for whatever it is that we need to happen in our lives. He's not saying, you know what, you are so awful, you are such a terrible person, you've done these awful things. No. Let's look at verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. In the Message Bible, it says this: God means what he says. Amen to that. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Now that we have, and that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Carol, talk to me about this. We've got to run to him, don't we?
Got to. He's the happy balloon at the birthday party.
Yeah.
He's the one that stays. He's not the balloon that pops. You know, sometimes our dreams pop and they go away. But not him. He's always there, and he's always got a smile on his face, and he always says, "Welcome home, my child."
Right. Yes.
And, you know, nothing in creation is hidden from his sight. So when people do things under the cover of darkness that are mean, ugly, nasty, vile, or whatever else, demeaning, his eyes still see it.
Right.
His heart knows where your heart is.
Right.
He knows if you're being ugly to somebody. And he convicts your heart to straighten yourself out.
Exactly, yes.
To get your act together.
Right.
Come to me. I will give you a new spirit.
Amen.
Clean heart. I will create you a desire to want to be more like me.
Amen.
To follow me, to hear my words, to live in me, to rejoice in me, to feel the joy of my people around you.
Right.
Once you've experienced that, and I'm sure both of you will concur, once you have experienced all that and relished in the fellowship of like-minded Christians, you can't go back to the darkness.
No, you don't want to, because it's so liberating.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Everything is ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being at that birthday party, and all of a sudden, you ask for something for your birthday, and it's not shown up, and you're kind of crestfallen, like, oh, dear. And then the doors open, and there it is.
Right.
It could be something as simple as a bat, sheep, or a meh, goat.
Right.
It could be something as wonderful as a new Bible.
Right.
It could be any of those things, and that's what God offers to us.
He offers us forgiveness. He offers us an opportunity to walk away from our past and let our yesterdays be there. Let the past be the past. And that's why I love Hebrews 4, because it says, let us run. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Nan, do you have your King James right there? Read that, because I memorized it in King James when I was a kid. And that is Hebrews 4, 14 and 15.
14 and 15?
And 16.
14, 15, 16. Okay. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For if we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are,
Amen.
Yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Wow. Come boldly and come get the grace and the mercy. Come get the forgiveness. Oh, that is just right on. This is what we need to do. But it takes a decision. It takes an action step on our part. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. Okay? If God said you can be forgiven, you can let go of all this unworthiness and all this shame and this guilt, which the word does say, yes, you can let go of all that, then it's our choice to believe that what God says to us in his word is true. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. And so you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in your time of need, and you let go of the shame, and you let go of the guilt, and you let God do a fresh new work in you. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. Woo! Carol, comment on that before we go to this next song.
Well, you rise anew.
Amen.
You leave the old clothes on the ground, those old sack clothes.
Yep.
And when you receive mercy and grace, you rise anew.
Yep.
Mercy and grace themselves will bring you to your knees.
Right.
You can do nothing, nothing but worship God when you have received His mercy and His grace. It is cleansing. It is heart-rendering. It heals every hurt, every pain you have. And you step out of those sackclothes and you put on the new clothes of joy and peace.
But you know, Carol, and I totally agree with everything you just said, we have to come to a point where we want to come out from the past, where we don't want shame and guilt to lord it over us and continually cause us to be depressed and defeated and scared and worried and all that stuff. Instead, we have got to make quality decisions. Dear listeners out there, some of you right now are very, very bogged down with your past, with shame and guilt. And God would say today to you, you are forgiven if you go to Him and say, Lord, please forgive me for that. That's all it takes. Okay, listen to this song by the group Sanctus Real, Forgiven.
Knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. Struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone.
Amen. We are forgiven, and we need to start acting like that. I remind you of 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nan's got another poem here. God's really hot off the burner here.
During this song, he gave this one. I ask your forgiveness for things that have been such a part of me. Thanks for your forgiveness. I do feel so wonderfully free. I wish I had done this before. Oh, Lord, why did I wait so long? I didn't know how good it could be. I am feeling so great and strong.
Praise God. So what does forgiveness do? It makes us stronger. It allows us to let go of those things that have just been like a ball and chain around our neck, you know, dragging us down. You know, the devil is a master of suggestions, and he plays with our minds, and he tries his best to cause us to live in the past, to cause us to live in shame, to cause us to live in feelings of not being worthy of the blessings of God. Carol, that's what this show's been about. It's been all about, come on, let's get away from that past and let's move into this new day where we are worthy because of what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Yes, and during that song, I wrote this. This is,
you both are busy.
Jesus speaking through me. Walk away. I tell you so. I will guide, guard, protect, and serve with my healing mercy, grace, and unending love. What more could we want? We've been told we can walk away from any situation. If somebody's in a situation that is causing them great angst, physical harm, or emotional harm, or any harm to them at all, no other human being has the right to do that to
no,
you.
No, they do not.
Nobody. I don't care who they are, how mm-hmm. long you've been with them, how long you've been married to them, whatever the situation is, whether it's the person at work or whatever it might be. They do not have the power
they do not.
To keep you, at least God-given power. They don't have that to keep you in bondage. So I proclaim today that God's people will no longer be in bondage.
Woo, girl.
They will
yes.
rise up. And
amen.
Step forward knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who stands at their back, at the ready to do their battles for them.
Amen.
At the ready to set them free, to walk through that door of darkness and step into his light of mercy
Amen.
And grace and faith and love.
And forgiveness. I mean, to accept that God forgives us, you know. I think, Carol, a lot of people just feel so bad about things in their past, some things, that it almost makes them feel better just to carry it around and keep beating themselves over and over again for what they did or how they messed up or how they hurt someone or whatever the case may be. They just can't let it go. Nan, talk to me about that, and then we'll get back to Carol. I think this is a big problem people face, that they just can't let go.
Well, it becomes just part of their identity.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, I know, you know, people have some illness. Let's say I'm anxious
right.
or whatever. Instead of saying that, say, I have anxiety.
Right.
By doing the other way, their ownership is that becomes part of themselves.
Right, yeah.
And it is an illness maybe that they have.
Right.
But it becomes who they are. And
right.
we don't need this kind of stuff to be who we are, because this is not who we are.
This is not who
it's
we are.
Not
we're
who we
blood-bought
are.
Children of God.
Right.
I'm a child of the King. How did Matthew West say it? I'm child of the one true King.
There you go.
I'm child of the one true King. And so when we realize what Jesus did on the cross, and this is the essence of all of this that we're trying to talk to you all about today, the whole concept here is be healed. And a lot of times we don't get our healing, whether it's physical or emotional, because we're stuck in a rut of the past. This show today, and like Dan said, if you need to listen to it again and again, go ahead. Because you need to let go of the past. You need to forgive yourself. A lot of times people are so hung up on the sins of their past that they can't forgive themselves for messing that up or ruining that relationship or whatever they might have done. And you got to forgive yourself. And some people blame God for what happened. So they got to forgive God, because a lot of times it's not God that caused that awful thing to happen, or your spouse to leave you or whatever. That's not God. Those are human decisions people make. And so we got to learn to forgive ourselves, learn to forgive God, and we've got to learn to forgive others, you know? And that's where the rubber meets the road. Forgive that person for what they did. Nan wants to comment to that, and then I'll get back to you, Carol.
Well, I mean, talking about forgiveness, I had an interesting marriage and a worse divorce, and it was pretty bad. I've made reference to that on the show before. And April will be 2 years ago, I believe it is, that my ex-husband's mother passed away.
That's right. I remember that.
Remember? But bottom line, it wound up being that it was okay with my ex-husband for me to come.
Right.
And I got permission. I wanted to be there for my son, but whatever. You know, it wasn't fair. I couldn't. And so when I went there, after, you know, seeing him in court hearings, seeing him and all this kind of stuff, it was like I have reached a point before then of being able to forgive him. It was not easy. I could not, it was hard forgiving him for hurting me.
Right.
That was hard. It was not easy. But I reached a point with God's help and was able to do that.
Right.
So when I see this man for the first time in several years, I went over to shake his hand and give him my condolences for the loss of his mother, who was a very sweet lady. He grabbed me and hugged me.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know, and if that had been old me, I'd have probably shoved him away. I mean, he was not embracing, a sexual hug, just a hug, just a hug at a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, thank God I had already been able to forgive him. And that's what people need to be able to reach a point to forgive those who have hurt
them.
And it's freeing. It's freeing when you can feel that
Let it go. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done. Forgiveness means you let it go. They don't owe you anymore. Carol, we're just home. My gosh, I can't believe it's time today. It's just gone so quickly. Carol, give us some final thoughts here because we got to do some wrap up. So,
well, I think that, you know, we need to, like everybody says, forgive ourselves. We need to realize that the things that we did because that's what we knew. And as we know more. We do better. We definitely seek a different level of water.
Right.
We've walked in the muck and the mire, and we realize that we're up to our neck in it and about to drown.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see clear, cool, fresh water, the living water of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we struggle to get to it, and when we get to it, we realize the beauty in it, that water.
Yeah.
The cleanliness, the pureness, the way the water flows gently over our bodies, not harming us, but filling us, every pore, every cell in our body, with refreshing, nourishing water.
Right.
And that water is the love and the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
If we have that, we can get through anything.
We can. Woo. Praise God. It's a new day, Carol. It's a brand new day. God is doing a fresh work in his people, and he is calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love Colossians chapter 2 that says, we've been transferred out of the dominion of the devil, out of the dominion of Satan, out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And it's light on your path when you realize that doubt and shame and guilt are things that you need to get rid of. And unworthiness, you got to let that go. You got to move on into this new day. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up our listening audience, whether they're listening live or later on our website. Lord, let them feel your strong hand in their lives right now. Let them know that you love them so very much. You love every single one of us so much that you understand us. You made us so you understand the things that have happened to us in our past. And Lord, let each of our listeners realize that you can help them. You can take their hand and lead them out of the despair of the past, out of the shame, out of the guilt, out of the trouble from the past, and into this new day where we are really rejoicing in your presence and your goodness. And Lord, we expect and we believe that you're healing people all around right now. Lord, we thank you for healing us as we let go of the pain of the past. Lord, touch every life that's listening today and that listens in the future to this show. Let them feel you. Release them into a new day. And Lord, we ask that you just continue the cleanup process in each of us that you have already begun. We ask all of that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Nan, give us some final thoughts.
Well, my final thought is I really would encourage people to email you at pastor@bohmglobal.com and ask for a copy of these points.
Right, sure.
I strongly feel about this. Right. It's the word of the Lord speaking to them, those people listening.
Right.
And so you would have them and provide that to
them.
Amen.
And, you know, if you're not in a good word-teaching church, you need to be. And if you're in our Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our 13th year. I can't even believe it. I was a young thing when we began this church, Nan.
Young little thing.
My gosh. And we're in our 13th year, and we have moved into a new facility back in September that is more than adequate to meet the needs that we have. And we have a special dedicated Bible study room on Wednesday night where I just write all over this 16-foot whiteboard and fill it with the Word of God and helps you learn. And it's an interactive type of atmosphere. And bring your Bible, bring your dinner if you're coming late from work. Sunday morning is a traditional service with music, with preaching of the word. But nothing is really quote unquote traditional at Beacon of Hope, because we never know what God is going to do, and His Holy Spirit moves in our lives in mighty ways. So if you do not have a church home that you can call yours and that you're comfortable and you're hearing the word of God, then we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. And we are at 21933 US Highway 19 North in Clearwater. Go to our website, Beacon of Hope. I started to say it the old way, BOHMglobal.com, and you'll get exact directions. We're really at the corner of Drew and 19, but a lot of people, their GPS does not tell them where it is. It's because of where it's positioned behind the Toyota dealership at the corner of Drew and 19, it's hard to find. We acknowledge that. So go to our website for explicit directions. Sunday mornings is at 10:30, and Wednesday night is at 7. Carol, it's always a joy to have you on, my good friend. We love you. We love you. We love your words of wisdom about your ranch and your sheep and your goats.
Well, let me give you this last word of wisdom. Spend time with Jesus.
Amen.
Open your scriptures. Read about him. Smell his fragrance as he moves around you.
Amen.
And taste how good he is.
Ooh, amen.
His mercy is unending.
Amen. Praise
his
God.
Forgiveness always.
Amen. Praise God. Nan, final thought?
So I like to see people be freed, because I know what it's like to be that way.
Woo, praise God. All right. So if you are in our area, join us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Just bring a Bible and a notebook and come prepared to have a great, fun time. It really is fun, isn't it, Nan?
It really is fun.
And bring your, you know, just bring your dinner if you need to. That's fine. We have tables set up, and that's how we have the format on Wednesday night. So if you have a prayer need, write us, and it will go to Carol, and it'll go to Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Also, if you want to talk to someone and have someone pray for you, we now have that available as Carol is taking on that responsibility. The phone number for Beacon of Hope is 813. That's a Tampa phone area code, 813-417-3377. I'll give it to you one more time, 813-417-3377, and she will answer the phone and talk with you. Counseling, Angel Bosco, on-site counseling, 727-501-6557. This has been Pastor Marcia. This has been Nan. This has been Carol, bringing you the Word of God and thanking you for listening this day. God bless you. Have a great, great week, and know that it's not far to Jesus. God bless you. There's no
City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.